We've found our way back here for a morning of practice. Can you hear me well enough? Okay, cool, thanks. And we've completed one full day of practice, just a few to go. And you can feel the gathering energy, yeah. And who knows, it's a bit like those ducks in water, a kind of smooth glide on the surface, but underneath. Feet are moving crazily fast. So there's work going on, isn't there? Maybe there's some funky energy moving through the body. So unwanted thoughts and mood states and crazy dreaming, all of that stuff that comes with a day of settling in for practice. We've been referring to the Dhamma as an energetic experience. And of course, by that we don't mean physical activity, that kind of energetic, right? It's an energetic felt sense. And so we cultivate a refining awareness that takes us from the surface rumblings into deeper and finer objects for awareness. So from the coarser to the finer. And that's a process. And we can't force it, but we can condition it. Yeah. And so that's where we are today, is picking up on that ongoing practice. And it can be felt in the body, this energetic sense. It can be felt in the breath. Yeah? And now if you notice, just even with the most general of attention to the breathing, breath comes in. And if we really pay attention, you notice, don't you, there's a wave of energy after the in-breath. There's a in-breath and then a subtle wash or wave that follows it. The prana that comes in on the breathing, the life energy. And that's an energetic experience that we start to attune to. And that in turn takes us further inward and onward in the path of inquiry. So I'll offer some guidance shortly, just after a few more words to orient us. Some guidance inward. Yeah, it's important at the start of a day of practice to invoke the motivation for being here. What brings me right here, right now, into this seated position, into this cultivation? We all have an aspiration to awaken. We might phrase it differently, but generally that's what impels us to organize our life so that we can take time out like this to cultivate together. That's so precious, that aspiration. That's so important to hold close, to keep close to heart, because our bodies and minds are so used to habituation. We form habits quickly. And so when we come to settle for practice, we start fresh. Yeah, we may be forming good habits in terms of practice, but coming fully conscious means being willing to sit at that edge of existence, of experience, right at that edge where we don't know what's coming next. Wide awake. And then what do? We bring ourselves into the present. In order to bother with that, we have to understand that that's not where we're spending most of our time. Or maybe hasn't been where we've been spending most of our time. Really seeing this gaseous mind that wafts up out here, now there, all over the place, dragging us around, draining us, fragmenting our experience. Understanding this, we're more willing to apply the effort. It comes quite naturally. Come back home to the body. What a relief. And we know that to the extent to which we are embodied, aware of the body, to that extent we're present-centered, and that can deepen. So we may already have sloughed off some of the coarser energetics around our experience of getting here. Some of the planning and the doing of the rhythm of our lives, and we've spent a day cultivating the present-centeredness that means some of that may have dropped away, right? But then we reach into deeper layers of embedded thought, emotion, habit. And there we find ourselves in the valley of the hindrances. Run out of road and we're stuck, we're bogged. These hindrances, like any mirage, they have the capacity to entrance and entrap for some time. Yeah. But the key, the way out, is to see through. And Willa talked last night about, you know, what's your favorite hindrance. It's quite a cognitive dissonance to think of favorite and hindrance, right? But it's helpful because there's the ones that we don't like so much. They're a bit easier to see. But it's the ones that we come into being on again and again that are harder to see. We know that if it's nasty and unpleasant, yeah, it's not in accord with the truth. It's not who you are. It's not who I am. Poisonous, internally directed thoughts. How could that be? How could they be true? And yet again and again we can fall for their seductive ways. Whose voice is that anyway? But if awareness isn't clear, if mindfulness isn't strong, we just slip back into that and we become that for a while. We get born on it, exist with it for a while, and then of course it passes, we die with it. This is the suffering of the cycles of birth and rebirth, moment to moment. So the seeing is critical, critically important. There can be so many thoughts firing off, different mood states, moment to moment, yeah. The 10,000 things, how can we attend to all of that? If we laid them all out in a row and picked them up one by one, we'd be here forever dealing with them. And so we have this wonderful model of the hindrances, where the 10,000 things can be grouped into a simple 5. I'm sitting here wanting it to be warmer or cooler. Wanting more of this, less of that. Thinking about my lovely little black pussycat back in New Zealand. Anyway, the mind wanders into wanting of some sort. It can be quite entrancing, it can seem real. It's actually co-opting energy, taking energy away from mindfulness. Yeah. It's exhausting, right? So I can get lost in that for a while and invoke images of little Losa and her whiskers and or whatever it might be. Or I can go, oh, desire. Oh, that hindrance, desire. So powerful, just a shift in attention. And rather than being subject to that hindrance, mindfulness is in charge. The balance is restored. And so for aversion, it can be difficult to see self-aversion. It can be easy to, you know, got an itch on the neck, be uncomfortable, this is a bit tight here, a bit whatever there. That's easy enough to see. One can do something about it as well, but it's easy enough to see that. But those inner voices, oh, not good enough, never be good enough. Why did I say that? How come I always dot, dot, dot? This helpful little sub voce, this little quiet commentator on one's life, ruining a sense of well-being. So seductive. Seems to be a helpful guide. This is the conditioned state. Meaningless. It's just ill will, just aversion. And in the seeing of it is the release from it. Just for that moment. And of course the application again and again of mindfulness in that way means we can gradually uproot these hindrances, these states that co-opt the mind. Such a waste of time. They're likened to different forms of imprisonment, and I find this particularly helpful way to motivate myself to work with them. Yeah, the hindrance of desire, seeing through it and letting it go, is likened to being free of debt. You've paid your debts. You're not in debt to the grasping mind that wants more and more, living on credit, metaphorically, if not literally. Simple turn of mind to look at the shadows that are bothering us, kind of creeping up on us from behind and ambushing us, turning, oh, I see you, just desire. And just paying back the debt. An aversion, the angry, boiling mind, like a kind of sickness. Seeing through this particular hindrance is likened to restoring health, being free from illness. Free of debt, free of ill health, these wonderful states available to us every moment. Sloth and torpor, a kind of entrapping lethargy sat on by that elephant. Of course, if we're generally tired, we need sleep. But when we're sitting upright, practicing, and the body starts to whoop, fall forward, start to nod, they're knocking on the floor, there is a way out. It's so seductive because it can seem pleasant. Yeah, it's a kind of slow anesthesia. But you may notice in that state, quite weird fever dreams start to pop in because the mind's, there's no control. So turning to see this as it is, that this is just sloth and torpor, a kind of wishing not to be here, wherever here is, a kind of shutting off, shutting down. We can upright the body, brighten the mind, and we're freed and out of prison. That's the analogy that's given, like being freed from the prison of that entrapping quality. Or if your favorite, and it's a popular one, is restlessness and worry. Thinking, planning, giving food to the mind, worrying about this, worrying about that, future oriented. How busy is that mind? Like a hamster on a wheel. So seductive, that one, because it's validated by our very busy cultures. At least I'm doing something, I'm thinking about how many black holes there are and why they're there and whether one will eventually swallow up whole worlds. And at least I'm not just wasting my time. Black holes are my go-to. Haven't got me anywhere yet, but this feels pretty interesting at the time. It's busy, busy, busy. And so letting that go, just, oh, yeah, that's just mind running with restlessness and worry. Oh, freedom from servitude. That's the one that really motivates me. Right? Who wants to be tied to the treadmill? Freedom from servitude, freeing the mind from this endless, relentless spin. And all it takes is just orienting the mind in that way, instead of being in the passing parade of thoughts. We step back, we have enough perspective, enough of a container to see its arising, its existence for a while and its passing. But to notice which of the hindered states it is. Mm-hmm. Well, there's poor old confusion, sense of being lost in a desert, thirsty, don't know where to go, no ground to stand on. That kind of homelessness, that awful feeling of disorientation. The chanting that we do in the morning, the reflections that we do are all very, very supportive and protective against this particular hindrance. Mm-hmm. But when we see it for what it is, oh yeah, I got lost in a daze. Where am I? What am I doing again? Oh, that's right. Oh, awareness of the body, awareness of the mind, the breath. Mm-hmm. This brings a kind of freedom that's equated to having arrived at a land of safety, no longer cast adrift in the bad lands of the mind. So for most of us at the moment, this is going to be the work, isn't it? Keeping our commitment to ourselves, to putting forth the effort in the service of freedom. It's available right here, right now. All it takes is enough curiosity to look beyond the white waves of thoughts, the disturbances on the surface of the ocean. Sink a little deeper, see it for what it is. And the letting go just happens. It's a natural result of seeing. So we're working through these blocks of practice in the morning and the afternoon, yeah, we're priming ourselves for insight. Just remembering that we're actually cultivating collectedness of mind and heart, presence, letting go of the surface ripples, priming ourselves for a mind that can cut through. And then there are the reflections, a little bit through the day, the chanting in the morning, the evening reflections. Seeds that can be planted into this, the well-tilled soil of our cultivation. So as we settle into another period of cultivation, I just invite you to bring attention to the body, your establishment of embodied awareness, making any minor adjustments that might be needed. We don't don't need to perform a posture for meditation, do we? But we do pay enough attention to check that we're sustainably upright. Yeah. Spine has its natural curves and its great strength. We position it well. It will do the holding work and the muscles can relax. And the whole body can relax. We've been hassled and harassed by all of the material reported in through the senses. And so now we consciously close the sense doors. Mm-hmm. The sense of hearing is paying attention right now to what's coming in through the sense door of hearing. Obviously there's my voice, there'll be other sounds. Movement through the airwaves reaches the mechanisms of the ear. As ear consciousness, hearing happens. We're not doing it. It's a phenomenon, conditioned. So we let the sounds reach us and we let them go. Just more vibrations in a realm of vibrations. As we quiet and inward, it's not a cue to drop off. It's an opportunity to clarify and energize the heart and mind. Because that energy isn't being wasted on external phenomena. So we notice sounds as they arise and we let them go. The eyelids might be closed, the seeing doors closed. So that reduces a lot of input, but there may still be visions in the mindscape, colors, images. We just see them as they are, let them be. Don't dabble or mess with them. We're shifting our fascination with the senses to curiosity about our present experience. Sense of smell, a sense of taste, quite muted, we're not stirring them up. And there's the bodily sense. We draw on this in our cultivation. Attuning to the touch of limbs against each other, body against our seat. Sense of touch be grounding. We come back to this again and again if the mind wanders. The mind, the sixth sense. That door can be harder to close. So we anchor ourselves in the body and in the flow of breath through the body. Felt sense of the breath. You may feel it as a flow through the body, or as the body glowing with breath. Keeping an open awareness here. And we're priming ourselves for for insight, for awakening. So with bodily present, brightening the mind, we can recollect the chanting from the morning. Recollect the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha, the path of awakening. And these are all our supports. These are our strengths as we make our way through the valley of the hindrances to the peace and the clarity that's always there beneath them. And we just keep going.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.